You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
The auto industry is the backbone of American manufacturing. It is a huge employer across many states. Millions of people, directly or indirectly, are reliant on that industry. And so I don't think it's an option to simply allow it to collapse.
And, of course, President-elect Barack Obama bailing out the NBC program Meet the Press on Sunday by showing up. You know, if you want ratings, you just book Obama. But the serious question of what to do with the U.S. auto industry is on the minds of policymakers from the transition team to the Treasury to, of course, Capitol Hill, which is putting up some tough resistance to actually bail out the big three. Some observers, though, say failing to bail out the auto industry would have catastrophic consequences on the U.S. labor market. Joining us now is Stephen Greenhouse. He's the labor and workplace correspondent for The New York Times. Stephen, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here, John.
Now, Stephen, you write that perhaps there are lessons from as unlikely a place as the failure of the investment bank Lehman Brothers in looking as to what the unintended consequences of a failure of the big three automakers might be.
Yes. In the piece I have today, John, I quote several economists saying that when the Treasury Department, when the Bush administration let the Lehman Brothers go under and collapse, go into bankruptcy, they thought it would be a minor matter. They never thought it was going to have the huge ripple effects that it did. And these economists say, the folks in Congress who say we should just not provide a bailout, we should just let Detroit take care of its own business and perhaps collapse, they're saying that the ramifications, the ripple effect of that could be much, much larger, could be even catastrophic.
Well, let's get into the details of that. I mean, I remember at the time Lehman Brothers was being allowed to fail, according to sourced and unsourced comments coming out of the Treasury Department, because we wanted to signal to the financial sector that certain things could fail, that everybody wasn't going to get a bailout, and that some companies would be allowed to fail if they were in such bad shape. The effect was to terrify all of the banks into jumping into the Treasury, and now all of them are holding companies. There are virtually no more investment banks. And so the suspicion would be if you let the big three fail, you're going to have all of the entire manufacturing companies in the United States and service companies and everything else that's in trouble, all the retailers running to Washington. Is that sort of how it works?
There's that fear partly. There are several fears going on, John. One is, right now, 2 weeks ago, the big three of Detroit were asking for $25 billion. Then, whoops, this week they were suddenly asking for $34 billion. And I think some folks in Congress fear that, deep down, they're going to have to end up shelling out $100 billion, $125 billion to really save Detroit. So that's one thing they're worried. And people talk about acute bailout fatigue. Folks in Congress are worried, what industry will come to us next? If we help the big three automakers, will we be helping machinery factories or steel mills or who knows what other industries will be coming.
A lot of people who have been laid off in this environment have found themselves vulnerable because they're so highly paid that they start peeling off the incomes from the top, as opposed to a recession in the 70s where it was sort of last in, first out. Seniority was the dynamic. Is it possible that the effect of whatever happens to the auto industry is going to illustrate that union jobs in the United States are more vulnerable than ever before?
Yes or no. GM, Chrysler are in dire condition. They've made many, 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 many strategic mistakes over the years, producing gas guzzlers, Hummers. And that's, I think, the main problem they face. They also have somewhat uncompetitive labor costs. And you take that plus the economic crisis we're facing and the banks are not making money available for people to buy cars, and you take that all together, and we see this huge crisis in Detroit. And one factor that could help Detroit become more competitive and stay on its feet would be to help rein in the labor costs and their huge costs for the hundreds of thousands of auto retirees also that are helping make new car companies uncompetitive. But I think in other industries, like airlines, union wages are still standing up pretty well.
Still standing up really well.
In ways, Detroit is a very, very unusual situation.
Finally, Stephen, you know, there's a lot of talk, open talk on Capitol Hill and even among individuals who are specifically involved with financial bailouts of reshuffling the management of these auto companies. Is there a lack of consistency in how willing the companies are or Washington is to, you know, get rid of Rick Wagoner of GM and maybe not mess with the management at AIG or Merrill Lynch or some of the other
group?
Yeah, there you go.
That's a very astute question, John. Yes. I've often wondered as well, why are they not pushing out the leadership of some of the big banks and insurance companies that have been bailed out? But, you know, it's clear that for many years the automakers have been making big, big mistakes, and you know, General Motors most of all. And I think, people can rationally say that Rick Wagoner has not done a great job. And I think there's also an effort to scapegoat and say, look, we're not going to give GM tens of billions of dollars unless we put a change agent. We want change
right.
We can believe in at General Motors.
Well, you got to sacrifice some lambs to get $34 billion out of the Treasury if you're talking to Congress, Stephen Greenhouse. That seems to be the takeaway this morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Nice to be here, John. Thanks.
Stephen Greenhouse is labor and workplace correspondent for The New York Times.